Good day. Pastor George here once again, filling in for the vacationing Pastor Rock one last time as we turn our attention to week number 78. We continued in the Gospel of John this week by reading chapters 10 through 20. Now, I could have gone in a number of different directions with my commentary, because I counted no fewer than six passages in our reading that make direct references to the person, ministry, and workings of the Holy Spirit. I'll give them to you quickly in the event you want to go back and take a closer look. They are John 14, 12, 14, 16, and 17, 14, 26, chapter 15, verses 26 and 27, 16, 7 through 15, and chapter 20, verses 22 through 23. Now that's a fair amount, but rather than taking an isolated passage and focusing on that alone, I think we have a unique opportunity to take a broader view of what Jesus said and how he interacted with the Holy Spirit, especially since he's the one who actually shared these passages and insights with his disciples. And as I began to think about this, I realized it's actually not very surprising that Jesus revealed so much to his disciples regarding the ministry of the Holy Spirit in these passages. Because the ministry of the Holy Spirit really is the key to living the Christian life successfully and in accordance with the will of God. Luke chapter 4, verse 1 tells us that Jesus was filled and led by the Holy Spirit. And as a result, he clearly understood the necessity, the value, and the advantages of being filled with and surrendering to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Something we'd be wise to recognize and imitate. And the good news is, we can. In fact, we've been designed and subsequently redeemed to do just that. Because in last week's reading, we were reminded in John 4:24 that God is spirit, and we were created in his image. That means we too are spirit beings, although we're temporarily confined by human flesh. We're not primarily physical beings with a spiritual additive. The truth is, our physical bodies are nothing more than broken down temporary housing that'll end up one day rotting in some grave. So we have to ask ourselves this question. If our physical bodies are temporary, mortal, and destined for the grave, and our spirits are eternal, then why do we invest more time focused on developing and pleasing our physical bodies than we do our spirits? Think about that, because that's a really good question to ask ourselves, and one each of us should deeply consider and then answer honestly. Perhaps we lack Holy Spirit power in our lives because we've been duped by the big three, the world, the flesh, and the devil, into following after comfort, convenience, and pleasure, rather than following the leading of the Holy Spirit. After all, we do get to choose who and what we're going to follow, even as Christians. Now, it's not always easy to follow the Holy Spirit, is it? Because he doesn't always lead us into fun places, and he always wants us to do the right thing, even when it's hard. That's just the kind of guy he is. In fact, the Holy Spirit often leads people through challenging circumstances that often lead to spiritual growth, because facing difficulty has a way of drawing us closer to God. For example, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to fast for 40 days and endure severe temptation. On the whole, not really much fun, but it was spiritually rewarding in the end because he learned obedience to God in the process and gained a spiritual victory against his enemy that was a foreshadowing of a greater victory yet to come. And I have a sneaky suspicion there was much more going on behind the scenes in the spiritual realm during that extraordinary episode. The Spirit also led Jesus to invest considerable time in prayer, listening for God and receiving direction. He went off alone to uncomfortable, isolated places, often at night or before daybreak, away from people and distractions to seek intimacy with his Father. In fact, he even pulled all-nighters. Look, I think one of the worst mistakes we can ever make is to follow the leading of other people, even other Christians, and use them as a guideline or a barometer for how to live the Christian life. That's not what we were instructed to do. We shouldn't compare our lifestyles to the lifestyles of other people or follow the paths of others. Instead, we should compare our lifestyles to Scripture, making course corrections as needed, and then follow the real-time leading of the Holy Spirit. Because when we do that, we're led into truth and the will of God. Jesus said in John 13:15, "I have given you an example to follow." In other words, he's saying, imitate me. And he followed the leading of the Holy Spirit on a regular basis as a lifestyle, even though he was the Son of God. Now, I'm only aware of one other person in Scripture that ever said, imitate me, and that was the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when he said, quote, "You should imitate me." But he immediately followed that with this, "just as I imitate Christ." In other words, what Paul was really saying there is that we should imitate Christ just as he imitates Christ. You see, imitating Jesus is always the goal. And when you follow the Holy Spirit, you'll be doing just that because Jesus and the Holy Spirit are in perfect sync with one another. John said in chapter 2 of his first epistle, "Whoever claims to abide in Jesus must walk as Jesus walked." So the clear mandate is to imitate Christ, not people or the culture, and walk as Jesus walked. And when he walked, he followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now there's a beautiful truth in all of this, and that is, God has not left us without the capacity to recognize and follow his Spirit. Because as followers of Jesus, we too possess the same Holy Spirit Jesus did. Jesus didn't receive some high-octane version of the Holy Spirit that we don't have access to. Perhaps the difference is this. Jesus overwhelmingly denied his physical self in order to nurture and develop his spiritual self. Because that's where real kingdom work is done, where the enemy is defeated, and where eternal rewards are collected. Look, much of how Jesus interacted with the Holy Spirit may be a mystery far beyond our ability to ever fully comprehend and understand, at least in this lifetime. But on the other hand, it may not be a stretch to say that we can do it the same way he did. After all, he was fully human like we are, and the same Holy Spirit dwells in us too. At a minimum, he did share some mysteries regarding the ministry of the Holy Spirit with his disciples, and ultimately us, in these passages. And these passages should not only comfort us, but furnish us with great confidence and hope. For example, in John chapter 14, verses 16 to 17, Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit dwells with us, is in us, and abides with us forever." Now that's what I call kingdom equipping and security. In other words, no matter what we face in life or where he leads, the Holy Spirit is with us, in us, and abides with us forevermore. That thought alone should enable us to follow him wherever he leads, because he leads the kingdom prosperity, something the culture will never recognize or understand. I'll close with this. As we discussed in previous weeks, the Holy Spirit is our personal guide, gifted to us by God to not only guarantee our eternal inheritance, but also to equip us for effective kingdom work, all while helping us navigate the snares and traps of the big three. But it's up to us to take full advantage of our built-in capability, and we do that by doing what Jesus did, following the Holy Spirit. God bless and have a great week.